Good morning, and welcome to Hillcrest Congregational Church, United Church of Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Today is Sunday, August 23rd, 2020. Our summer worship theme is Beguiled by Beauty, and our focus for today is From Beauty to Compassion and Justice. Our lessons, each on their own and particularly as read together, have a lot to say about all that. I look forward to our worship, and I look forward now to hearing the news of community. Following that, we'll prepare ourselves for worship.
Good morning, and welcome to Hillcrest Congregational Church's virtual worship service today, Sunday, August 23rd. This is Katie Kolbus, and I am humbly honored to be your liturgist with the following news. You are invited to the 11 a.m. virtual fellowship hour this Sunday. You can participate using your telephone, computer, tablet, or smartphone. Instructions on how to join the conversation were emailed by Reverend Fred on Saturday, August 22nd. Sunday School. Sunday School will take place again on Sunday afternoon. If your child hasn't yet participated, contact Allison Keekley Silva for further information. Zoom links are emailed weekly to the family. Adult education is on Wednesday afternoon. The conversation on white privilege continues next Wednesday, August 26th at 4 p.m. The conversation has been deep and thought-provoking in a safe environment where deeply held attitudes and beliefs are explored. Information on how to join through Zoom will be sent out early next week. Pleasant Hill panel discussion on social justice and the role of the faith community was on Wednesday, August 12th. Reverend Fred and other Pleasant Hill faith leaders participated in a virtual panel discussion hosted by the Pleasant Hill Civic Action Commission Diversity Committee. The topic was social justice, and the role of the faith community. The faith leaders, along with the Pleasant Hill Police Chief and two members of the City Council, engaged in a compelling discussion about the potential role of the faith community in addressing the complexity of issues facing the city, its citizens, and its police department. A recording of this conversation on August 12th is available on the YouTube at the following link, which is listed in the bulletin. To learn about the August 26th discussion, Social Justice and Youth, along with the work of the Diversity Committee, you can go to its website, which is also listed in the bulletin. Rally Day is coming, September 13th. Yes, it's that time again. The new church year starts on September 13th. It is also the day we celebrate each other in Hillcrest and discern how we will be called to serve our church in the coming year. As with all things, Rally Day will be different this year. It will be held virtually at the September 13th, 11 a.m. Zoom Fellowship Hour. The council is working on entertaining ways to present the work of their ministries and committees and to let you know about service opportunities you might want to consider. You will have to provide your own food this year, however. And remember, this is truly an event you do not want to miss. Hillcrest office hours are Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 9 a.m. to noon. If you need or want to come by the office for any reason, we strongly urge you to make an appointment with the office ahead of time. Please note these important safety guidelines. The door to the main office will remain locked even during open hours. A doorbell speaker system has been installed. There is a mask requirement to enter the office. Masks should also be worn everywhere on campus, please. The best and most efficient ways to be in contact remain email and phone. You can call the office at 925-689-8260, extension 1002. You may also email the church office, Allison Keekley Silva, or Reverend Fred Weidman. And now, we are called to worship.
As we enter into our worship today, hear the call to contemplative action in the world. The awareness of our own God-given and God-blessed beauty, and of one another's God-given and God-blessed beauty, is the seed of compassion and justice. A contemplative life empties us and readies us for good life, rich, courageous, generous, and joyful life, as active agents of divine beauty in the world.
God, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of your tone. As you have searched, so let me seek your erring children lost and lone. Oh, lead me, God, that I may lead some wanderers along life's way. Oh, feed me so that I may feed your hungry ones without delay. Oh, fill me with your fondest, God, your overflowing love to know. In glowing word and kindling thought, your love to tell, your praise to show.
You are invited to a moment of quiet rest, a time of slowing the pace of your body and mind so that the spirit can settle. The chime will call us to prayerful meditation. Divine goodness, Holy Spirit, pause us for this moment. Bear us up in this time. Hold us for eternity. We offer our lives in service to your creation. We dedicate ourselves to increasing beauty in this world. we commit to compassion and action. We use this silence to draw close to you.
When you're tired and feel you can't get through, uncertainty comes over you, just look around. When your problems seem too much to bear, unsure if there's someone who cares, just look around. Whether stranger, neighbor, family, your friend, on each other in tough times we can depend. Look around, kindness, love is ours to share. We can see it everywhere, though it may seem like forever. Look around, even in our darkest night, things are good. Get through this together, just look around.
We gather ourselves in prayer before our living and loving God. As we sang in our opening hymn, so we ask, O fill us with your fullness, God, your ever-flowing love to know. We come with hope and we come with concerns. We come with hearts filled with joy we know in God and each other. And we come with hearts weighed down by the burdens we bear and by the burdens of our world. Hear us, O God, hold us, and open us to you and your life-giving Spirit. We thank you, O God, for our faith community Hillcrest, for all we are together and for all we do together with each other and with all of our partners in ministry to share your love and justice in and for our community and world. We pray, O God, for all who are sick and recovering from illness and injury, including Anne, Ariana, Betty, Dennis, Heidi, Ron, and Webb, and all who care for them. And we add to those all whom we name now. In this time of COVID, O God, and in this time of reckoning with our racist past and present, and in this time of election season, we pray for our nation, for its people and institutions, and for all who lead and would lead, that they and we might be led by such love and care for creation and humanity as we know in you. All else on our hearts and minds, all our joys and all that concerns us, we bring to you now in this time of silence. And be with us now as we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Sometimes it can be hard to see. Life is full of possibilities, so look around. Each and every day is such a gift. Embrace it and the life you live, and look around. Outstretched arms and many helping hands. Don't give up on all your dreams and all your plans. Look around, kindness, love is ours to share. We can see it everywhere. Though it may seem like forever, look around, for even in our darkest night, things are gonna be alright. We'll get through this together, just look around.
Hi everyone. This summer, we've been on a search for beauty. We've looked for beauty in all kinds of places. We've looked for it in nature, in the plants and animals around us. We've looked for it in broken things. We've looked for it in things that some might consider ugly, like worms or insects. As this summer comes to an end, start thinking about the beauty in your life. Think about ways that you can create more beauty, that you can spread the beauty of God's creation to others. I know that this has been the beginning of the school year for many of you, and I don't know whether you are seeing people in person or whether you are going to school remotely, but this is a challenging time, and there are lots of people who are looking for beauty. Maybe you can put together a song for your classmates. Maybe you can do some art for your family. Think about the people in your life and think about how you can bring God's beauty to them. Remember the lessons from this summer. Remember that there are lots of different ways that you can do beautiful things. I would like to lead us all in a prayer. Please repeat after me, and adults can join in as well. God of goodness, thank you for beauty. Thank you for good news. Help me to help you. Bring beauty to someone else, and be a messenger of good news for the beauty of the earth. Amen. Throughout the summer, we've contemplated the theology of beauty and divine goodness through these ritual actions. Have any of them spoken to you in particular? Have you put a post-it note on your mirror reminding you that you are beautiful? Do you think about the beauty of the earth whenever you water your plants? As we draw this summer to a close, I'd like us all to reflect on the contemplative practices that we have done. Think about ones that we can turn into habits. Remember this quote from Dr. Farley: a contemplative life can empty and ready us to become instruments of the good for the beauty of the earth. May it continue to be so.
Contemplative action. From beauty to compassion and justice are all a part of what St. Paul is about in his letter to the church at Rome, a multi-ethnic and multicultural church living in difficult time in their city and around the world. And here, he's getting to the bottom line. Where have you all, whatever you look like and sound like, come from? Hint, God. And why are you all here? You are called by God to live as God's people in and for the world. It's good news to be part of the restoration of love and peace and hope. It's our call to unveil more beauty in the world. And now, hear these first two verses from St. Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the good news.
I want Jesus to go with me. I want Jesus to go with me. All along my pilgrim journey, oh, I want Jesus to go with me. Jesus to go with me. All along my pilgrim journey, oh, I want Jesus to go with me.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I have a hunch. I can't prove it, but it's worthy of consideration for those of us who would follow Jesus, who have been and would be touched and changed and enlivened by Jesus' call to life and life abundant. Why would this story in the gospel
end with this sentence. Then Jesus sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. That's kind of weird and unexpected, isn't it? I mean, first, in a lot of ways, it seems the disciples don't need any help in not telling people about Jesus, right? I mean, I don't want to pick on them, but we get a number of stories about the disciples just seeming not to get it and not reaching out to those who they might reach out to. It was just last week we heard about the Canaanite woman who was trying to get to Jesus and the disciples were trying to keep her away. And I'll bet if I gave you a minute to think on it now, you'd come up with another story or two where they similarly keep people from coming to Jesus. So it hardly seems like they'd need a reminder to not bring people to Jesus. And secondly, why would Jesus not want folks to know who he was? Now, as I ask that, I know there are a bundle of scholarly theories as to why, but a lot of them contradict each other. And anyway, Jesus says very much the opposite lots of times, including at the end of this same Gospel of Matthew. And I'll bet some of you could quote it with me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, and on and on. So what's going on here? Well, here's an idea. See what you think of it in light of our worship theme, Beguiled by Beauty, and our focus for today, From Beauty to Compassion and Justice. And especially in light of our first reading for today, these extraordinary first two verses of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12. What if the focus of Jesus' statement is not on the object of the telling, that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God? What if the focus of Jesus' statement was on the telling itself? What if what Jesus was saying was, don't tell it, speak it, mouth it? No, rather do something about it, live it out, be transformed by it, and transform others by what you do and how you live. If I don't miss my guess, that's the message that St. Paul heard and responded to from Christ. He says as much right here in the letter to the Romans. Now, those of you who know the letter to the Romans know that it can be very theologically astute, all kinds of arguments and fancy language about God and Christ and all the rest of it. But when Paul is getting down to where the rubber hits the road, he isn't going for formulas or philosophical truisms, no. What he's after is life, real life, your life, touched by Jesus and by God's Holy Spirit, making a difference in and for your life and the lives of those around you and the whole world. Here again, these amazing first two verses of chapter 12 of the letter to the Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, sisters and brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, just that one phrase from the last line, so that you may discern what is the will of God. What is it that Jesus prays? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Not thy will be spoken about. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with talking about God's will, right? But if that's all we're doing, I mean, talk can be cheap, right? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's powerful. and even more so in the biblical language. I wish I had time to go into each of these words and phrases, but just quickly, the word for conformed, it's where we get our word schema or schematic. And the word for world isn't world at all, but it's more like zeitgeist. It's the era we're in and the things people think of or just take for granted as being good and important and acceptable, but that can be so harmful. Think of the schematics, the patterns, the acceptable models and ways of thinking that we all get stuck in and that keep us stuck and that keep us from being in touch with our authentic selves and with others and with God. Just think of the era we're in right now. But maybe to keep it even simpler, for example, when I was a kid, it was all about progress. Remember? I'll bet a lot of you do. The argument for everything, progress. And I remember thinking this even as a kid, noticing this. What value does undeveloped land have? Or here in the Bay Area back in the day, some of you might remember, there was even serious talk about filling in the bay in the name of progress. I mean, why not just put in landfill and pave over the bay with expanded neighborhoods, retail, industry, productive things? I mean, what good is land, or for that matter, what good is a bay, unless and until we develop it? It's not doing any good undeveloped. A lot of people thought that way back then. Maybe you know folks who think that way now. But wait, what? God made the land. God made that bay. It's inherently valuable in and of itself. Just because the way people think and the economic schemes of a given time and place say that land is no good or that annoying bay there is no good until it's paved over and developed doesn't mean that that's true. Certainly not from a religious or spiritual point of view, which honors God and God's creation and God's decree that creation is very good in and of itself. And how much more in touch with creation and with God and with each other and with our own true selves are we? And how much healthier are we in body, mind, and spirit when we have fresh air to breathe, fresh water to drink, and the occasion to smell and touch and feel other created things? And that's just one example about this don't be conformed idea. Don't be conformed to the ways of the world that separate you from God, from others, from your own true self. I'd invite you now, if you'd like, through the magic of online worship, to go ahead and pause me in a moment. Take a minute or two to pause the sermon right here and think about ways of thinking or being that seemed so true or acceptable at the time, or perhaps that never seemed good or true or acceptable to you, but everybody thought that way. Worldviews or ways of thinking or being in the world that pull you away from something inside of you or something out there in the world that kept or keep you from being more in touch with your own true self, with others, and with God. Some say our nation is going through such a period right now. Pray that it's so. Pray that our people and our leaders find a way to reflect in such a way. It's a blessing to do that. This lesson from St. Paul is calling us to do so. Jesus' teaching and modeling of how to live calls us to do so. So please, go ahead and take a moment to do that now. I'll wait. Okay, back to it. As we start to draw this meditation to a close, don't be conformed to the schemes that are getting people stuck. No. And then St. Paul goes on, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Wow. Now just quickly, transformed, literally metamorphized, changed in form from inside out and all over. God is calling. Like Uncle Sam, God wants you. Unlike Uncle Sam, there's no agenda here except for you and your life, for the living out of God's love and justice and grace and joy in the world. Life, good life, full life, God-blessed life for all, metamorphized in Christ for true life in the world. And what does Jesus say? His first word at the beginning of the gospel, repent. And in the biblical language, it's almost the same word. That meta part of metamorphized is in there. And the mind, the thinking part is in there. Literally, be transformed in your way of understanding. So St. Paul in his letter to the Romans, so Jesus in the gospels. Talk can be cheap. Life in Christ isn't. It's about your life and living it to the fullest. It's about sharing God's love in all you do. That's what St. Paul is all about. That's what Jesus is all about. It's why Jesus taught us to pray what we pray every Sunday, and many of us every day. Oh God, thy will be done. Thy will be lived out. Here in my life, here in our lives, now. So to go back to where we started, that's why I think Jesus says in our gospel lesson, don't tell. Don't just tell. And I think that's why at the end of this gospel of Matthew, Jesus doesn't say, go therefore and tell people about me. Just talk about me and try to explain me if you can. No. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. Teach and show by doing. Be transformed and transform others by living with and living for the fullness of life in Christ for you, for the world. There's nothing cheap about that. And let all of God's transformed livers and lovers and sharers of the good news of God and Jesus Christ say together, Amen. Amen.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence. Till you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulder. You raise me up than I can be. There is no life, no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But when you come and I am filled with wonder, sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
We can continue the Acts of the Disciples. Good news is coming. We are the church and the bearers of the good news through our actions, including our gifts that support the work of Hillcrest Church. Let's be generous. And thank you for sending in pledges and offerings through the mail or giving online at hillcrestucc.org. Your gifts help to continue the vital work of our ministries, our actions to care for each other, our community, and the world. Please remember to take care of yourselves and each other. We are church together. We support one another and the work of the church when we give together. Let us pray. Beloved Creator, help us clearly see your good news through all of the turmoil around us. Let us each be a center in the storm, creating a safe and steady place of refuge for others. Bless our gifts that we and others will know we are held in your loving light. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
For the beauty of the earth, for the good that love inspires, for a world where none exclude, for a faith that never tires, and for every heart renewed. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious unto you as you live out your faith transformed by God's love. And may God grant you and the whole world peace. Amen. And now let us pass that peace of Christ one with another. As you're willing and able, I invite you to hold out your arms in the direction of a loved one near or far away, or hold out your arms in any direction as we share the peace of Christ with others and receive that same wish and intent and active sharing of peace. back from others who are worshiping. Please repeat after me. The peace of Christ be with you. And also with you. Amen. Our service has ended. For those of you worshiping on Sunday morning, August 23rd, 2020, know that we will be gathering at 11 a.m. for a time of fellowship. The information to join that meeting via Zoom has been circulated. If you've not received it or have questions about it, please email me now at revfred.hillcrest@att.net. Go in peace, shelter in peace, be transformed in peace. Experience God's beauty in others, in yourself, in the world, in peace. Amen.